लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। बिहाइंड द सीन्स, oh yes, exclusive insights, absolutely, eccentric characters, you bet. So pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals, and now let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today, an actor I didn't know when I started watching Verticals, to be honest. He joined a year later in the vertical space than me. So I'm very happy to have him. And he stood up for me this morning very early. Glad for that. And I'm sending good morning greetings in this way to Lucas Silva. Hello, welcome to my podcast.
Hello, Michaela. Glad to be here. You know, it's a new day.
was there enough time for a coffee yet?
I'm actually a weirdo. I don't drink coffee.
Me neither. I've never sipped coffee in my life so far.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that both makes us in our own little group, doesn't it?
Your name's Silva. Do you have Italian roots?
I do, yes. My father's side of my family is from Spain and Italy.
Spain, from Europe. So that's great. I love it. Why are you doing the verticals? Not in Europe, in Italy, or roundabout? All in Los Angeles and so?
Right now, they're just mainly shooting here. There is a couple that are in Italy. I've seen a couple and also been invited to a couple that have been shooting in Italy. But it's mostly just I'm in the marketplace for where it's shooting right now in LA, and that's where I'm going to get most of the opportunities. I have gone to China and Turkey and places like that to go shoot these verticals.
You were in Istanbul or what?
Yeah, Istanbul. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then so obviously, you know, you get around, you fly around and do that, but it's more so like verticals shoot where it's convenient, and mostly Italy's nice and great. We love it, but like
the food is great. I love the food in Italy.
Oh,
it's not so far from here to go to Italy.
Oh, from Germany? Was it like a train ride?
I'm in the south of Germany, so I have 1 hour to Switzerland, and I drive through Switzerland directly to Italy in 4 hours. Four and a half car drive, I'm in Italy.
Oh, that's not bad at all. That's not bad.
I have 1 hour to Austria, 1 hour to Switzerland, 1.5 hour to France, 1.5 hour to Luxembourg. So
yeah, that's a flex that Europe has that America will never understand. We have to drive at least 4 hours to go to a different state, and not like a good part of the state, just like across the border.
And maybe you have to drive 1.5 hour in the LA traffic to go on set.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So, yeah, you're in the Alps here. When you shot in China and in the Europe locations, is it different from the process or something like that than shooting in America?
It can be. The Chinese teams are a lot more like cut, dry, and systematic, basically.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's
super organized.
Yeah, it's very much like a you're in, you're out type thing. That's not to say that they don't go overtime. They regularly go overtime on the sets. So like usually shoot around like 16 to 18 hours or something like that. But
what?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation for those sets. But
I thought 12 is normal, but 16 to 18?
That seems to be normal there. So
okay.
That's what As long as you have your like your turnaround times and your contracts, you know, like where you have to have 10 hours of turnaround time or 12 or something, then you're fine. But that is basically usually what they go for those sets. The Turkey one was very efficient, very efficient. We definitely finished 12 hours on time on the dot, like there was nothing over time, and it was a nice little camaraderie at the end. I feel like that's the main difference between the at least for me, the America ones, the Chinese ones, and the Turkey ones. I've only done one in Turkey, but there was always like people always wanted to hang out and go get food and like have a
I
little
think
camaraderie afterward.
that's a European thing.
Yeah, it is, right? Okay, I keep hearing everyone keep telling me about like a third place in Europe. Like I guess for like America, you know, we have our home and then work, and that's all we do. In Europe, it's like home, work, and like then the bar or then the park or
Yes.
something, like some area where you guys go to hang out and have fun, basically.
Yeah. Going together
So
for
that's it
dinner
was
and
nice.
something like that.
Yeah, it was nice to be a part of the third place for about like a couple weeks or so. But it was so like by very much biased. Probably Turkey was like has been my favorite like set to work on.
When did you start your vertical? You joined, you said 2024, right? So after me starting watching. So,
Yeah.
how many verticals have you done so far since then? Roundabout?
Like may like more a little more than 35,
So
probably.
much? Really?
Yeah, I
In
mean that's not to
one
say
and a
that
half year?
we're
So, holy moly.
that's not to say that all of them were leads. I think about 10 or 11 of them are leads, and then the other ones were like major supportings. Like when they do the love triangle ones, I'm usually the nice guy in the love triangle ones. Or when they do if there's a villain that I actually like playing, I will very much play the villain because they're so rambunctious and petty, and I love them. So those are like my favorite little guys to just mess around with. But yeah, it's usually either been like the nice guy in the love triangle, the villain, or the lead. That's what I bounce around with. But that also gives me time to breathe and everything, because the villain or the love triangle guy is not on set every single day being used every single day. So I'm able to recoup a lot more and just jump onto another set if I want to. Because at least for me, I feel like it's really draining if I'm going from set to set to set and I'm always being a lead. I'd rather be like set lead and then major supporting, then lead, major supporting. Like I'd like
Okay.
to shuffle off them so that I can breathe.
Does this work out with your castings and auditions to
Yeah, I mean,
get the roles in lead, supportive role, something like that?
sometimes there's like two or three major supportings in a line, and that's totally fine with me too. Like I said, I
Okay.
do run other stuff in my life, so it's nice to be able to have time to run those things as well. And then I like get those, and then I get a lead, and then you know maybe one major supporting, and then another lead. I actually just had to pass up a murder mystery lead, unfortunately. But
What
I'm
a
going to be,
murder mystery lead.
yeah, I'm going to be in Italy though, so I couldn't do it. So, but
A murder mystery lead. That sounds a new genre. Kind of.
it sounds really cool. So I'm glad that they're doing it. I'm not going to lie. I'm really glad that they're trying to like expand and do stuff that's different. I would love to see like, you know, action and comedy and an adventure or horror, murder mysteries, like stuff like that. Like
Comedy, absolutely comedy. Absolutely. That's needed. I just watched The Vertical yesterday. And after 15 episodes, I turned it off because it was not entertaining. It was the same shit story, but only in a werewolf version. And I was so, oh, come on. You know, when you know after the fifth episode how the story will end and work.
Yeah, at that point you're just watching brain rot.
Yeah, you know, then it's not entertaining and I'm wasting my time for watching that. You know, because when you exactly know what will happen, oh no.
Oh, no,
And it was
it
so full
definitely
of
kills.
violation also.
Violation.
Yeah, a lot of violence and abusing and harassment and raping and kidnapping, you know, stuff as usual sometimes in these stories.
Yeah. There's a huge, I mean, there is a huge push for like an independent market happening right now, though. I know a lot of people that are in the vertical space that are either actors that are becoming producers and creating their own separate things, or there's some that are just creating their own apps entirely. I know there's like a, there's a woman led and produced app that's being created right now for just verticals and everything.
I think I know who you mean. And I talked to Dan Löwenstein, the producer from the UK. He told me that they are developing also a new platform for the UK market.
Yeah. So everyone's popping on and doing their own thing, which is, I mean, it's an open market. It's new. So, I mean, all you need to do is have a team and people that are knowledgeable in the vertical market. And the verticals are old enough now that there's people that are knowledgeable and good at business. So
when you think back to your first vertical and to your last, what changed in this time since you were doing it?
I feel like they have gotten
more professional. Are they getting more professional or better organized? Or,
I mean, the first one I was on, it ran perfect. Like, I mean, there was nothing wrong with it, and it was actually the casting director I met on it. It was like now one of my really good friends, and a lot of the set people that I was on, like, are now really successful vertical people. But I mean, we all worked well together, and there was nothing wrong or haphazard on it, to be honest. Okay. The one that I was just recently on that I finished about like a week ago, that one, it's hard to tell because sometimes that one was a new team. So like they were just like put together, and it was like their very first production and everything. So that's also kind of, I guess the difference would be like the first one I was on was like a settled team. It might've been like a newer vertical or like a earlier vertical, but the team itself was not new, so they knew what they were doing with each other.
Okay.
Versus like the one I'm on right now, a lot of the ones that I'm recently on are a lot of new teams working together. They might be good teams, but like the one I was working on recently about a week ago, it was two good teams that were put together, so they didn't necessarily always
know how the other works.
Know how to work together because they had their own ways of working. Yeah, so I think that's like the most. I think that's the biggest difference right now, is because there's so many people and teams and everyone hopping into these, that when you're getting on verticals now, it's not necessarily that it's like bad or better or anything like that. It's mostly just people are new. Everyone's new.
Yeah. 'Cause
everyone's trying to jump into this now. So I'd say it maintains a normal level of professionalism. There's always like the contracts in place, crafties, all that and everything. But it's more just so like if you're working with a settled team that's already worked with each other, or if you're working with new people.
Yeah, I know. I think it's in a few branches exactly the same one. When you work, I was a long time. I studied business informatics, and I did a lot of SAP international projects, rollouts and stuff. And we were also a team. And when you come to the companies where you have to roll out the SAP system, we five work perfectly together, but every time you have to work with a different team in the company. And then every time was like, okay, let's try how it works now. And then the cultures were so different. We were in China, we were in Italy, we were also in Switzerland, and in every country, the people were completely other disciplined in work. And that was so, the job was nearly always the same, but the procedure was every time different, totally. So.
And that's just how it is. I mean, when you're working with newer people or newer things, it's going to have its days where people are going to be doing stuff that are different than the other people. And that's just kind of how it is. Doesn't make it less professional or more professional. Just makes it new.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think everyone learning by doing is still the best. So.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you don't do it and you don't mess up, or you don't, you know, do it good the first time or something, you're never going to learn what's the difference.
Is there a country where you want to go to film?
Where I want to go to film?
Yeah.
Probably Greece.
Greece. I think everyone thinks that Greece is more exciting than it really is.
Well, I'm actually, Italy is, I'm planning to eventually live in Italy. So I'd
And you
rather
can
I
do with Michael Vaccaro. He told me he also will move
Oh
to Italy. Yes.
yeah.
And he will work there. And I asked him if he will have a vineyard then or what. And he said, no, probably living there and working as an actor all over Europe. So that makes two of you.
It's just I have this very romanticized fantasy about Italy, and it's an area to where like I just want to grow. I want to grow with people, and I
Let me
also I
guess, Tuscany?
no actually
Not?
the no not Tuscany no
Okay.
I don't have an I don't actually I don't have an actual settled place for it yet, but it would be a place that would be good for business, so probably like Milan or something, to be honest.
I lived in Milan for 6 months for working.
Nice place.
No one believes me. The thing was, I was there for 6 months, and on the last evening before I left was the first time when I was in the city and the dome. Otherwise, I only saw hotel, office, restaurant. That was all.
Well, was that nice?
It was okay.
It was something, okay.
It doesn't matter where you go. The offices, the hotels are nearly everywhere the same.
Oh yeah, if you go into a franchised hotel, you're definitely not gonna notice the difference.
Yeah, exactly. So, but when I was in the city and I was at the dome is really impressive. Really impressive. I was standing in front of it and okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's like for me, it's like for it, like honestly, in Europe, and you described this earlier, like how quick and easy of access you have to go to different areas.
Yes.
That's what I'm kind of looking forward to, because like I am a very in people person. I love being in person with people. But with the US, if you're having a business meeting, it's usually someone like you're in New York and they're in Atlanta. There's no way you're going to get to each other. Or you're in Chicago and they're in Detroit. There's no way you're going to get to each other.
Yeah,
Or
yeah.
you're in Boston and you're in LA. You're not going to get to each other. And so it has to be over Zooms or over calls or anything. And not to say that business isn't always going to take place on this regardless,
I know,
but
yes.
if you go in Italy and you're like, oh, he's like, it's like, oh, I want to, I go to Germany or go
You
to
can do it
areas.
really easy.
Yeah, it's things where it's just the ease of access to be able to, because for me at least, when I'm doing my business with acting or with outside of acting, it's in a completely different realm of this rather than just being in person and talking to someone like that. It changes the entire dynamic entirely. It's honestly, it's like for me at least, but might be biased, but when I've met people in person, we've definitely created stronger bonds and done better projects together.
I think when you meet in person, it's more creative. Because for me personally, I don't like all the I don't I didn't like the home office stuff while the pandemic. I now work at the university as a lecturer. And everyone said, why are you doing this? And I said, listen, for me, I love it to have the students around me, to to be interactive with them, to talk to them. And in 4, 5, 6 months, when their semester is over, the next students come. So it's always kind of variety in this job. And there are so many different characters. And I don't know. I think when you are really face to face, the atmosphere is much better than doing it online. I don't know.
Oh, it is. I mean, some people like look at there. I'm not gonna knock it. The convenience of
No,
this stuff. The convenience of
sometimes
this
it's
stuff
the
is there.
easiest way to do that. So it's fine. But if it's possible to meet personally, I prefer that always.
Yeah, it's just the ease of access. I mean, we're people. We're people. But,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's just how it is.
Do you think everyone wants this meeting personally? I knew a lot of people who were glad that they can do it with a kind of safety distance.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's honestly preference. That also helps me decide in a way who I'm going to be able to work with in general. Like if outside of an acting perspective, like just for my businesses and everything, if I'm meeting someone and we have an opportunity to meet in person and sit down in person and everything, mm-hmm. and they decide to choose these of access, not because, you know, it's inconvenient or not because like there's a problem in the way or they can't make it or anything like that, but because of just the purely like, you know, this is an easier, in a word, lazier way to meet up with somebody rather than like actually like committing and going in person and getting a vibe with somebody, especially when you're dealing with money or you're dealing with projects or you're dealing with anything like that where like it can be life-changing for somebody.
Yeah,
you need to get a vibe of somebody in the room. Like
if I'm
gonna meet someone over this and like maybe they're like a marketing partner or a distribution partner or they're creating the script for the vertical or anything like that, and they don't know how to hold themselves in a room, or they don't know how to talk to people face to face when it's like actually in person or anything like that, I won't get that through this because it's an ease of access.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Something that like, you know, you're in your own room, you're in your own environment, you're not actually near this person. But that's not always how it's going to be, especially when you get onto a set. You're not going to have that.
Yeah.
Or if you're doing a business merger, or if you're doing anything like that, you're not going to have that. It will be in person. Mm-hmm. So that's also, for me, it's a good way to tell like if the person is actually someone that I can work with or not, and if they can hold their stuff in a room of people or in an environment of people that can make or break anyone's career.
Yeah. Do you have a good sense for nice people?
I have a very sensitive, I have a very sensitive, I would just say like aura around myself, I guess. it's the only way I can describe it. But when I'm around somebody that either I know that I'm just that we don't vibe, or they don't like me, or they're not a good person, or anything like that, I feel like kind of like a horse or a dog in that way. I'm just like, this isn't gonna work.
Yeah.
Or something where it's like, because the slightest thing sets off like my equilibrium in a way like that. I keep myself very mellow, very mitigated to any imbalances in like my emotional state or anything like that, to where I live a very level life. But because of that, like living a level life, it can tip very easily depending on who mm-hmm. I'm with or what is happening or anything like that. So if I ever feel it tipping like that just by being around somebody, I know that person's just not like meant to mm-hmm. be like in my life.
You know, my older dog is trained for people. I trained him for disabled people to work with. He's an assistant dog. And I do it as a, yeah, normally my dogs are for hunting. And I also take them with me to the university. So they have to be very sensitive about students and so. And my older one is really great at that. And when I get a new student's course and he doesn't walk into this room, I completely know, okay, something is not right in here. And when he sits next to one special person and lays down, I know, okay, that's the fish here. So it's for me easier to check it out. What's going on here? That's really cool.
Give your assistant. That's great. And it's a fluffy, cute assistant at that.
Yeah, but he's very old. I think he won't be here much longer. Maybe till the end of the year, and then yeah. Well, but it's
I'm
fine.
I'm glad you got to live a full life with an owner who cares about him.
Yeah, and the younger one is only 7 months, so kind of chaotic. So.
Oh yeah, they're taking up the mantle then.
It's very stressful at the moment, to be honest, but it's okay. I get through it. We will see. What do you like about acting? What is your fascination about acting?
About acting, I just growing up and watching movies and watching TV shows, whenever I was able to, like, I know movie scores and I know set design and I know clothing and I know all these things go into making a production really happen. But when there's those moments where, like, the actors really do just shine and that was their scene and they do it and they kill it, it's fantastic, whatever it is. That is just I didn't even do it, but it feels like such an insurmountable feeling of pride, because whatever emotion or message or anything like that you were trying to invoke, they were trying to invoke through that monologue or that scene or anything in that aspect where they were just in their realm, was intoxicating and is intoxicating still when I see good, when I get, see good shows, or I see good TV, or I see good movies, or you know, by chance sometimes even good verticals. Like, I do see sometimes that there is a really good monologue that gets put in there, or there's a really good scene with actual character development that gets put in there. I'm just like, wow, this is, it feels euphoric in a way that I just can't describe in any other aspect. So when I have that opportunity to be able to also now put myself in that shoes, like full circle, it's like making that little kid that was watching these movies
Happy.
happy.
Yeah, I know this feeling. I did also some acting stuff here in Germany. And for me, the first time it was kind of weird to see me in the television after that because I was okay, holy shit, they cut it kind of because you don't know what the final version is then, and it was kind of weird, but it also made me kind of proud because it was like you said. You're always watching, and then you watch on yourself. So that's kind of cool. And what is the thing what you like on verticals? Or are you also in the horizontal stuff acting at the moment?
I have done some features, yeah. And there is like a stark difference between them. So, but what I like in horizontal is that they take their time. It's not like 7 to 10 days. It's like 2 weeks to 4 weeks or something like that. So you have more time to be more creatively accessible for it and ask questions. And it's not such a cut and dry, one and done type process that verticals are. And that works for verticals. I mean, obviously it works, it's growing and it's doing great. But I think that would be the stark difference, is where, like, and when you're making a vertical, it's the quickest way you can get it done, versus when you're making a feature or you're making something like that, it's like what works best location wise, creatively wise, actor wise, producer wise, like what is overall that we can make the best product for, rather than just like to pump it out and move on to the next. So.
But are you sometimes disappointed when you did a take and you felt it wasn't so good, but the director said, "No time, let's do the next scene"? Was there a time when you said, "But can we do this again? I think I can do better," and the director said, "Sorry, no time for that"?
I've been around when that's happened to other actors, but luckily that's actually not happened to me. Like, I've actually always gotten to do. I've been the lucky one. I have also been able to just do it one more time again. But it's mostly like I'm very careful to pick and choose when, like, when there's something like that that I want to make up or anything. Like, if it's a big monologue or a big scene or something like that, I take pride in the fact that I've prepped it. It's going to do good, and it does good. At least for my standards, it does good. But if there's ever anything I need to redo, it's usually just one line or something that's small, basically. So whether just like, oh yeah, that's fine, just yeah, we'll do it right now, real quick. And it's something that's like not gonna take a lot of time. But I also do that in mind because I know how verticals work, that I know that I shouldn't mess up, or at least for me, that I shouldn't deliver huge monologues or huge scenes how I didn't want them to be. Of course, you know, mistakes happen, things happen. I'm not gonna know how the other person acts until they're acting across from me. But more often than not, at least on the amount of verticals that I've been on, I've been good with making sure that what I want to hit hits.
Okay, that's great. Was there ever a totally ridiculous situation on set where you, I don't know, where you have to laugh a lot and you cannot do the scene because no one can stop laughing or something like that?
There was one scene where I was actually it was a real short one that I did like with Roberta actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so with Roberta actually. We were at a dinner table and the two this was a love triangle one, so the guy that the girl was the guy that the girl was gonna get with the toxic professor dude was going to we were at the dinner table and they were playing footsies under the dinner table basically, and I was sitting at the edge of the dinner table being ignorance because I'm ignorance to it. So the girl once the other guy kind of does too much like I guess sexuality in a way with the girl, she gets up and she says, "Hey, doctor, I think it's time to go. It's pretty late." And I guess the way I did this scene, I didn't know it was gonna be this funny at first, but I looked at my watch and I'm eating, I have glasses on, and she gets up, I look at her, and then I look at my watch. Yeah. It is getting light. And it's more just like it was the context of the fact these people are just avidly going at each other right now. I couldn't be more ignorant to it. And then I'm just like, yeah, you're right. Like I'm leaving, trying to go out of it. And I
Yeah.
didn't, yeah, it's like I didn't know. It's just the whole setup and the context of it that made it really funny. But like no one kept it together. The director, the producer, everyone laughed. And it was repeated like I think three or four or five times, versus like we could actually get that take in because it was just the whole context and the
Yeah.
way I was like reacting to it that just killed everybody like consistently. And
And I
it
think
was
then it's difficult to redo it when you know how
Yeah.
the first take did. So I think that it's always kind of hard to do it again. Do you have some role model for acting or in acting?
As a general actor, just in general, like I love the work that Hugh Jackman produces. I like just his work ethic and where he's like gone and done stuff. And also the I like Arnold Schwarzenegger too. That's an aspect of like I wouldn't say just like an actor for him, like but more so in the aspect of like when he just wanted to do something, he did it.
Yeah,
Like when he
absolutely.
was yeah, when he was a bodybuilder, he did the best bodybuilding he could do. When he was a senator, he did the best senator he could do. When he was an actor, he was the best actor in the world for what he was doing and grossing
Yeah.
everything. I think it was just more so it's just like if there was something there, he did it.
And he was still so down to earth every time
Yeah.
because
Yeah, I mean
he's or
he works at a Gold's Gym here in LA, and like I've honestly just gone there early just to see him there working out, and he just works out with people and he's just fun.
yeah, you know, he's not from Austria and lived not so far from here. So in Europe, he's kind of really hyped
I can
in
imagine.
the 18-19s, and you saw him a lot in also German television shows. And every time, it doesn't matter how successful he was in the US, he was so down to earth, really not snobbish, not nothing. He was sitting there, he was always kind of nice guy for a little chat about everything, and he was so socializing with all of the people and really great one, really great one. But when you hear him speak in the original Austrian language, it's kind of funny because I've seen him more in the English version with the Austrian slang than talking German. Yeah, that's one of. But is he still? Yeah, is he still acting?
I think the last one that I saw him in was like a TV show on Netflix, I think like about a couple of years ago. He was like a CIA father And who's bringing his daughter, or his daughter got dragged into his mess, basically, of his like past, of his past issues that he's developed being in the CIA and everything. So she became a target and all
Okay.
that. So it was a nice little, it was a fun little TV show. I don't know how well it did. I watched it purely because Arnold was in it, to be honest. So
So you watched all the Terminators?
oh yeah, I even watched the newest one too.
I'm not. I haven't seen the newest one.
It has its upsides, it has its downsides, like every movie. I definitely don't think it's a fan favorite, but
You
it's
watched it
very,
because of Arnold?
actually, the Terminator concept for me has just been something that's been interesting. I am just a little boy at heart, so just having robots fight each other and explosions and like cool catchphrases and everything is like, you don't have to like tell me a lot about something for me to just be like, all right, I'll watch it, I'll try it.
Okay, so you're very open. What kind of vertical script you would decline? What's a no-go for you in the vertical space to do?
Anything overly abusing the female lead, or
Okay, that's really great.
yeah, it's well, that's also that's the problem that I was having with like I told you, I like to play villains, but I haven't played a villain for about since besides the last one that I just did about a week ago, I haven't played a villain for about 6 months because there was
Okay.
this huge trend of the villain raping the lead,
Yeah.
and it wasn't like for me, I would rather be the love triangle. I'd rather be the guy that didn't get the girl at the end. Maybe he was like super sappy, super nice, got stepped on, like whatever. Basically, he just wasn't the guy that won. I would rather be that guy 10,000 fold than the
Yeah.
guy who is just there to just be a rapist. So,
Yeah.
and
Yeah, absolutely.
it was like, so ba that's like my number one thing. Or the, I did one of them and I wasn't gonna do another one of them, which is wild because the one I did really well. But the fat shaming ones.
Which one you mean did very well with you
There's
and
I think it's something like XXL wife.
okay. Yeah. So I know what kind of story, but this came out, I think, with four different casts.
The one that I did apparently did really well. It did better than the other cast about it. So basically that set off a trend of all of everyone else trying to do it now too. But
Yeah,
it's
but
shallow.
that was the XXL wife. Did you the one with Alexandria Watts?
No, I did the one with Christine Marie Havens and Dema Rylan.
Okay. No, this kind of show for me, the main show was when she l lost all the pounds. It's not a story about this fat shaming the complete vertical. So it's not so shitty to watch it. You know what I mean? When it's 20 minutes and the rest is kind of difficult story, it's fine. But sometimes in some verticals they are raping 70 minutes. Every scene someone gets a slap or someone, I don't know. So
Yeah, it's until they start diversifying more in an aspect of where like people are, because the problem with it now in my opinion in Hollywood and film in general, which is why I think it's great that independent artists are getting into this. The big boys don't want to take the risks. They want to find something that works and then they want to kill it, kill
yeah.
it, kill it, kill it, and keep killing it until people are like, okay, we're done. We're done. We want something new. But until the audience like gives them that like view and like, you know, like
Yeah.
there's no response to it, they're not going to change anything. Versus like independent artists, like I know a one who's making a pirate vertical right now. And then
Yeah, I saw a
another.
trailer of a pirate vertical
Yeah, and then
recently.
another one is doing an action vertical. And then it's in the, because they're not afraid to take the risks. Like they know that comes with new territories, someone has to do it. Someone has to do it first. And if it
Yeah.
does great, great. And then everyone's going to hop onto that boat. If it doesn't do great, Well, you know what didn't do great because you're the one who did it first, and now you can take that into the next project. But you wouldn't have done that if you didn't do it in the first, or you wouldn't have known that if you didn't do it in the first place. So I think that's the problem with like a lot of the entertainment industry right now is that the people who are making the decisions are corporate heads who think about ROI, profits, and making their investors happy, which of course does play a factor into it. But with investing in the first place, you're gambling. You're gambling regardless. Unless, and this is the problem that's happened right now. And investors now just want to be like, okay, well, this format's worked, so I'm just going to invest in this, and you can only make this, don't change this, and nothing creative through this. So now it's like a hook, line, and sinker every time, but that's it. It's a repetitive like hamster wheel of just you swap out the cast. You make it a werewolf instead of a vampire. You make it a CEO instead of royalty or anything like that. And you just rotate it and rotate it and rotate it. And there's nothing that's going to be have variety or change into it. And that won't happen until it expands more. And people with more of a creative outlets are going to want to take those risks and see what they can make from it. And that's what I think is great about the vertical aspect in general, because there's so many creators. Like just general creators through TikTok, through Instagram, through Red Note in China or anything like that, that have been making vertical stuff for years now. Like it might not be cinematic vertical stuff, but they know how to shoot vertically. They know what works, what doesn't, what gets people's attention, what doesn't. And an aspect of where if they wanted to go cinematic and get, a bit like $1,000 DSLR, a couple of their friends, and make something like a cinematic vertical aspect. That's totally doable.
What is your kind of dream role in the vertical space you want to do?
This one kind of hurts because it was a murder mystery one. So like I it hurt to pass that one up, but I can't I'm it's already too late into the aspect where I had to do it. But I love Because I actually I was it was interesting. I was talking to a there's a vertical drama market going on right now, right? And my friend went to it. I was out of state and I came back when it was ended. But he was talking about how these things are not like film and TV, but more like video games. And an aspect of where you watch a couple episodes and you pay coins to pay to play, basically, stuff like that. And his aspect of like that, I kind of started looking at these characters, and that's how they're built. Like this, there's an app called Secrets, where like these characters come in. You choose a that you have like four choices to make. You can either do two free choices or like two paid choices, and that kind of seems like that's the route that kind of seems like that's the route these verticals are going, basically, where there's a storyline arc for the main girl, and then there's these choice token characters that come in and contribute to her game, basically. And that is an aspect I do like about it. And what I would do like about like or what I would prefer to be in like a mystery aspect about it. Because a mystery game for me, I love a mystery film. I love a mystery TV show, but a mystery game just hits so much more of a sweet spot. It makes it feel like Clue or something like that. And it's like, wow, I get to be a game character, and it's really cute and it's really cool.
Game character. There are a lot of interactive verticals lately where you can choose what the leads are doing. But to be honest, I don't like them because every time you have to pay, even when you have a membership, you have to pay for the decisions. So for the audience, it's getting really expensive to watch these shows, even with memberships, because you have to buy these coins and you have to buy the membership. And in total, one show is round about 40, 50 euros then for only one show to watch. And that's, I don't know. Sometimes I think they are making so much money out of it. Why they are doing now interactives to make more money and more money and more money? That's kind of shitty for the audience because there are so many platforms out there, at the moment where you can watch shows and where you want to watch shows, or when you see an advertising for one show which looks interesting, you have to install a new platform. You have to pay there only for this show. I'm having at the moment 49 apps on my handy. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I wasn't aware there was that many that were doing that good.
I know a lot of people, they have more. And roundabout, the weekly membership is round about €25.
For each app, and they pay for that?
Yes.
Wow.
We are speaking here about not $5 for a show. We are speaking about €50 for a show if they are treating it. There are some apps where you can watch the shows only by buying coins. Then the show gets even more expensive. Yeah.
Wow.
For the audience, okay, it's really hard dedicated. At the moment. For the audience, it's really hard to get attracted, you know, because when you see an advertising, mostly the producers put all the stuff in the first 10 episodes to get you hooked up to watch after the paywall. And after the paywall, the story gets sometimes kind of lame because the most important things were put in the first 10 episodes to hook you up to watch it. And even when you pay for a membership, yeah, it's getting expensive.
That's the thing. It's like, that's where like the creativity should come in at
yeah.
least. And it's why
yeah.
I'm happy about all the independence and everything like that, because the problem, I think the difference that I am seeing starkly from when I did my first vertical versus when I'm doing my verticals now is mm-hmm. it seemed to be still experimental in early 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were still trying things. Like the first one I did was an Arabian prince. And that's not a common storyline. Like, I mean,
no.
It might be royalty, like normal royalty, but it's definitely like not Arabian or not
yeah.
Middle Eastern or anything like that. It's definitely, and then there was aspects of like, you know, the Colosseums that would be there, the clothing that would be there, and an aspect of where like there was now this country girl that got flown into this, that got flown into this other country and had to align herself with the values of what that country was and everything. Of course, it was like, you know, it was a storyline of she was selling her virginity, but like
mm-hmm.
it was still an aspect of the cultural aspect that hadn't existed before. Versus now, it's like the last one I did was like a billionaire. Oh,
what
secret.
A surprise! Hidden
yeah,
identity.
Like yeah, secret billionaire
okay.
type thing, basically. Yeah, and then you know, I was the villain, so obviously I cheated on her at the beginning, and then you know that then I'm just like a thorn in her side the entire time, but I think that is very much the biggest difference that I see is that they were still open to experimenting early on because they needed to find out what they could milk, but now they found out what they can milk, so now they're just on this status of just beating that till it's dead.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I know they're money minded. I think that's the only way that these things
yeah.
are getting made is that they're money minded. So I feel like it is hard on the audiences, but somehow they have to be making their ROI back from the audiences. So that
yeah, you
means
know, I think because it's still at the beginning, they're always hopping on the ship, the new audiences who watch the old stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm.
For them it's new. For me, I started watching verticals at the end of 2023. For me, it's a lot of kind of repeating stories with different casts at the moment.
Pretty much.
And I think because it's growing, this industry, I think 50-60% are new audience who are not so overloaded with these stories yet. So that's the reason why they keep filming old stories. Because as you said, they are still working because they get their numbers. And yeah, so what would what would be the dream role? You said this gaming thing. Is there a chance that this will happen?
Being doing a vertical as a game?
Yes. A complete, not as an interactive one, like the verticals right now, where you have to make 5 or 6 decisions in the whole show. So really, from the beginning till the end, like a game thing?
What I would like, it's not really like a dream. It's not really like a dream role, but kind of like to be in a dream concept. I would like a POV concept from the lead female's perspective. Mm-hmm. So that way, like, say it is a murder mystery, you guys are locked in a house and everything like that. But
like an escape room or what?
I would say like an escape estate. Like, okay. there's acres of an estate, and there's areas you can go around. There's a forest area. There's like stuff and everything. Where basically, it's like an explorative sandbox world, kind of basically.
Okay.
But you know, a lot of the female led characters are chosen to be relatable to the audience that's watching. A lot of the audience that mm-hmm. watching is like I'd say like early to middle aged white women. That's the demographic that's been happening of watching it. And so that's why the leads are chosen how they are to be relatable to the audience that's watching it. So that way they can put them in their shoes. So, I mean, in my opinion, what's a better way to put them in their shoes than to have a POV of like this young girl who's brought into here is like, I don't have a concept for it, but to physically and visually live through her eyes as this show is playing out. Seeing everything that's happening and having to make the choices that way and everything, and an aspect of where it really does feel like if you had an Oculus on or if you had something mm-hmm. like that, you would literally be that human being doing that show.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm still waiting for a Western one.
There's been a Western one.
Really?
With Jennings. Actually, I worked with him. It's called Jennings Bowers and Alyssa Hayer.
That was not really a Western one. I want to see an old Western one with the saloon, with the duels, with a lot of horse riding, you know, something like that. I know this one you mean with Jennings, it was playing on a farm, but it was not really, really, you know, this type of Western, like the old Western. No, I get Western what you're saying,
like Clint Eastwood or stuff like that. Like, old, like I get it, like an old rough and tough, like Western.
A town with a sheriff and the saloon and the some kind of lasso throwing and horse riding. And
I think the only problem holding that back is just production value.
That's no, it. Robert, like, I spoke with Roberta about it. She said, because that was my thinking too, that it would be difficult to produce it. And she said, no, that's the easiest way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she said to me, if I will win the lottery and have the money, I can come to her. She will produce me a Western. So,
well, say less. I mean, just get through getting those tickets then.
I have to find a hidden billionaire, you know?
I mean, if according to vertical knowledge, you just have to put yourself in a bad situation. And
I wasn't. My life is like a vertical. Totally. Totally. I had a brain surgery with memory losses, got cheated. I needed a very fast heart surgery last year. So my life is totally like a vertical with all the shitty scenes in the hospital, memory losses, getting cheated. I have it all.
Where's your billionaire then?
Yeah, still missing. Still missing.
Oh, wow. You see, he's trapped on a flight right now. He'll be there in a little bit.
Hopefully. But that's the happy end is missing in this way. I'm still waiting for it. Holy moly.
Oh. Yeah. No, well, I mean, that's good. That's good though. I mean, I'm also not a producer. She would definitely know that. So I'm glad that it's actually not that difficult to produce. Then I think that just goes down to general interest of the clients. Then, They just don't have the interest in doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a problem, as you said, with taking the risk.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, that kind of makes it a little more like a little more bittersweet, because if it's the easiest to produce, it would mean be the cheapest to produce, then they really just don't want to take that risk. It's not like you're asking for a higher budget to produce like a sci-fi or something.
No, I think Roberta has also a location in her mind. She was totally, yeah, we can do that. Okay. So it's all about the money. Okay.
Oh, it's always about the money. It's show business. Show business.
Yeah.
So, I
Money
mean,
makes
that's you're
sometimes the life really easier.
Oh
You
yeah,
know,
it's
if
I wouldn't say money's happiness, but I'd say money is the key to doing the things I can't
Oh,
guarantee.
yes. With money, you can buy a lot of happiness. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yes. I have to play the lottery, I
Oh
think.
yeah. Yeah, easy.
Yeah, in Europe we have a European jackpot. It was 120 million euros last week. But you can you
Wow.
do a lot of verticals with 120 billion euros.
I think you might be able to get a couple in, yeah.
Even getting a private jet and fly all the actors over.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's gonna go through maybe, $5,000 of that 120 mil, but I think you can make it work. Yeah.
Why not? Then
Yeah,
maybe we can film also here in Germany, because Germany has really nice landscapes for filming. I think there would be some nice verticals locations to shoot here.
I bet there would be. That would be lovely. No, that is like acting in verticals until it gets more creatively. For me right now, it's I love meeting the people on set and working with new people and everything connection wise. But because the scripts are so like rinse, wash, and repeat sometimes, it's not really the most creatively fulfilling outlet for
Yeah.
me as an actor. So I'm actually kind of looking more to get into the production side aspect of it, because I feel like that, and even still, you're pretty stifled on the production aspect if you're working with a client, because what the client says goes. Like,
Yeah.
even I feel bad for the directors a lot sometimes, because the directors are more of mouthpieces than they are actually making creative decisions. They're like what gets delivered from the client through the director to everybody else, and that's what they are, like a funnel, like a middle guy basically.
Yeah.
And I feel bad about that, because I mean, I've even worked with the directors that are just like, oh, I wanted you to be the lead, but the client chose this, so I had to get you on somehow and stuff like that. But like, it's an aspect of like, I know there's sometimes that directors are just doing these just to do them,
Yeah.
because they're not having the creative freedom that they want to either. So it's an
Yeah.
aspect of where like the only way that a vertical is going to like be, in my opinion, creatively sound is if there's a client that's based out of China, or there's a client,
Are
or if one of
mostly of the clients in China based?
almost all of them almost all of them
Okay.
yeah no like
Okay.
well yeah almost all I don't Almost all of them. There's one that is based in Poland, and then there's some that are based in Canada. But I would
Okay.
say probably like 90%, 92%
Okay.
are like from China. So that's and like I told you, that's like a really, at least when I went there, it's a very rinse, wash, and repeat systematic type thing. So they want it this way, they get it that way, it's that way. There's not like they want it this way, oh, they didn't see it this way, but that kind of sounds like it's better, let's try that and then do that. They don't do that. It's just a straight line.
Okay. Do you sometimes, or did you ever a show and when you finished it, you went home from set and thought, what the hell was that? I expected more from this role, or I expected more than it
I
turned
mean,
out.
kind of like when I agree to a role, I look at the script. I'm like, if I'm agreeing to a role, I look at the script basically. I'm just like, okay, well, I read the script, and if it's either usually now I'm taking like if it's a plot I've done before, usually it's either like, who am I working with now? Like, is it people I like working with, or is it someone I haven't worked with before, or anything like that aspect? Because now it's mostly just like seeing who I want to work with, in an aspect of like, gathering connections for that aspect. Because if it's a script that's the same that I've done before, like maybe the name's different, or like I said, I'm a werewolf instead of a billionaire or something. I know a lot of the emotional development that I've done for it before. It's not going to be the exact same, because that would then just take the creative aspect entirely out for me. So I try to find the little nuggets of gold where I can for that. But mostly it just comes down to me, like, I always read the script beforehand. So there's not really anything I'm really surprised about, unless like the client changes their mind about something as the set's going on, and they'll be like, we're going to do this now. And it's like, unless it's something drastically different, I'm like, wait, what? Or something.
What would be a really challenging role for you?
I have a problem. I wouldn't say it's a problem, but it was a struggle for me. And it's sometimes, depending on the character, it is a struggle for me. I'm a very self-assured person. I have a lot of confidence, bravado, and I carry myself well into a room, into an environment, into anything, even anything I'm not sure about doing. So playing a character who's rooted in weakness is very difficult for me to do. And not to say that they're like a weak, feeble-minded character, but like to say that they're not the one that's in control, and they're not, and or maybe like if there was a story where I was being used as a scapegoat for a murder, and I would have to play this trepidatious, not knowing what to do, kind of like frothing at the mouth, very foamy hands type sweaty guy and everything like that. That is a character that is so contrastingly different than how I am as a person, that it's the hardest thing for me to get into usually, because I'm usually, even if I'm not in power, I have my semblance of stability and confidence and bravado, like I do, regardless if I'm knowing what I'm doing or not. But if there's if I have to play a character where they have none of that, it's very difficult for me to imagine and put myself into a shoe of, because I've always kept myself with this air of stability and everything in that aspect. So to be a person that is unstable, which is why I love those characters whenever I get the chance to play those characters. But I mean, that's also why I kind of like playing the villains a little bit more, because there's always areas where they're just like, they think they have it and then they just don't so quickly. And so for like the lead, like, you know, he's always this knight in shining armor, has everything solved out, everything works in his favor. You know, he grabs people's hands, breaks their bones, knows how to fight people. Like everything just works out in their favor immediately. Versus like the villain, they can try so hard, so hard to their heart's content and just still get screwed. And so that's what I think I like about him. Just like, that's where I can find my little bit of uncertainty and be like, and really kind of push myself out there and be like, oh, I don't know what to do. It's an aspect of like that. It's because it's very rare when that happens in my life where I don't know what to do.
What about playing a psychopath or a kind of type like a Joker from Batman?
See, even that, those people are confident in what they're doing though. There's no way the Joker in his really twisted mind up there isn't like, yeah, this is gonna work, this is gonna be funny. And like, I mean, that's his whole, like, you know, character arc of just trying to get at bats, just trying to antagonize him, just trying to cause mischief and everything like that. Like, he might not know how it's going to pull off, but he knows that he's gonna do it.
Yeah, that's right.
So I mean, regardless, I would love to play a psychopath. That'd be great. I would love that. That would be great. I would adore that. Unfortunately, I do think I have the in like a horror movie, I do think I have like the casting type of like the jock boyfriend that ends up getting killed.
Playing the victim, not to murder shit.
I would love to be the murderer, and if there's ways that we can make that work, by all means. But yeah, that's what I see the casting type for me right now, at least. But that's also up to my abilities to change their mind. So yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of being an actor, is to show that your looks, that you don't just have your looks, that you're not like settled into what you look like.
Yeah, that you cannot get pickholded in kind of character, because you are able to switch immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, sometimes I have the feeling that people with kind of look of Italian look or dark hairs like me, always kind of associated like a villain. I don't know why.
That's in a general media sense. Actually, I was talking to my friend about this from Venezuela, and another one from Argentina, and his aspect like that. And like a lot of their media, the people with like the naturally darker skin complexions or the fluffy, like frizzy type longer hair or anything like that. So we're definitely like always criminals or the people trying to break everything up or something like that. It's just a character. And we can always feel some type of way about it, but it's a character arc that works. And like right now in the verticals, like the golden boys with the lighter skin complexion or the lighter hair, darker hair and those aspects. And then, you know, the female leads and how they're set and everything, that's what's working right now. And then they put like it's, I was doing a vertical where I don't know if they're going to use this poster or not, but they shot the poster like this. It was down the middle and there was the lead and her shining knight. And then there was me and the girl that that I cheated on her with. And it kind of looked like the Middle East versus America or something, to be honest.
Okay.
Like there was, because the two leads were very pale skinned and blue eye, green eye, brown hair, blonde hair. And then there's me with my darker complexion. And then my girl was, I think she's Lebanese. I think she was Lebanese. Mm-hmm. And so she's has a very darker skin complexion, the same like black hair and like that. So it was very contrasting sides that was put there. I don't know if they're going to use that poster.
Yeah.
But
we'll see.
But it's like, that's kind of like the face value was what it is right now. But that's also, that's what's selling. I mean, that's what people are watching. So like, cause there has been cases where it's like, and I've been on sets where I've been the lead, and there was one where like, I actually felt like it did like a really, I had a really good script. And, but I mean like, it was two darker leads. So, I of course there's a bunch of things that can go wrong besides that, you know, marketing, the budget for all that stuff. And everything. There's a bunch of stuff you can't control, but, at least right now, the most, and also you have to think about like the casting aspect of like, the kids, the moms, the dads, the grandpas, the grandmas, like statistically, there just is more of availability of paler actors. That can look like family rather than darker actors that can look like family.
Yeah, especially, that's true.
Especially for a vertical aspect, because they even the grandmas and the grandpas have to look like stunning people, basically. So like,
but you know, did the vertical, the family I saw with you, this mommy, daddy, please don't get divorced, or what was the title she played?
Yeah,
happy dad. I love this one, by the way. It was really great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. That was a fluke. I showed up on a set before that for one day, literally for one day. And I guess the actor that was supposed to play the lead dropped out. So the client was freaking out and he saw me and he's like, do this audition. And he like gave me two pages like right there on that set. And after I was done with that one day thing, I was just doing a favor for a friend too. I was not even supposed to be there. So I showed up, did it for one day, and he gave me the script. He did me like a COVID thing. He put me in like a suit top and a tie up top, and it was just normal like doctor pants on the bottom, basically, for those pretending to be a doctor. Okay. And he takes me out front of this building. So like, and if you don't know anything about self-tapes, you know, actors usually try to go in like a very calm, neutral, controlled environment, nice clear background, you know, to not distract you from anything. He just takes me in front of this really busy building, super busy intersection, and you can't hear anything. And he's going around me holding the phone while reading the script, and he's not staying still at all. He's like moving around me doing this while I'm doing this self-tape or anything. And this is the most haphazard self-tape I've put together in my life.
But it worked out. Hello?
And it worked out. Yeah, it worked out. He's like, I mean, granted, you know, I had the benefit of the client filming me. So like, I mean, obviously there was... Yeah, obviously there was like a little bit of favoritism there, but it's probably my best example of the right place, right time type situation.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. But it was really a it was a great show. I loved it. I really loved it. It was at that time for me, it was kind of new story. Later, there were a lot of with these stories, but I really enjoyed it. For me,
Yeah, I
that
think it
was
was.
really good entertaining.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I think it was. I don't think it was. I don't know if it was the first or not, but I definitely think it was one of the firsts
Yeah.
that got into that type of genre, like that family
Type of
type genre like
story.
that,
Yeah.
basically. And so definitely once it did good, everyone had to hop onto it. Like I did like the Breaking the Ice one that was like a while back in like 2024 and stuff like that. I was the villain in that, the love antagonist in that. And then it did so well that everyone and their mom wanted to do it. Everyone and their mom, and they're still
Yeah.
trying to do it right now. So
Yeah,
it's
with the hockey and
Yeah.
sporty verticals. Yeah, I know. I know. We will
Yeah.
see where this all will end. I'm still hoping for my Western.
Oh, I mean that's going to happen regardless. No, I mean, because they'll go where their money goes. And if the money dries up in these genres, they're gonna do different genres.
Western musical
They are
and
they're doing
comedy
musicals. There's
and
a I just
comedy.
auditioned. Yeah, I just auditioned for one that was there's a dance one being produced later this year. There's one for the piano artists and all this stuff like that. Musicians for like singing, and I just did an audition for a label record one basically, and we're artists in that aspect. It's an aspect like there's a lot of musical ones trying to be put into effect right now.
Hopefully. I'm really looking forward for the Christmas verticals now.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a lot of Christmas verticals for sure going on, without a doubt.
Because last year there weren't so much of it. So I'm hoping this year
I
that
think they're getting. I think they're realizing the aspect of like a lot of people are relating these to like the Hallmark and type areas like that, basically, or like the Hallmark type areas like that, basically.
but you
So I def.
know, filming a Christmas vertical where it's 30 degrees and no snow. Sorry for that. That's not. No. Christmas verticals need the Christmas vibes with snow, freezy, cold.
Oh yeah, we'll see if that message gets to them. I would love for them to commit. I for one would love for them to commit. See, because that's the thing, and also is an aspect of where like I think that's one thing that has changed for me in a bit too, and everything. From the first vertical I did to one like the ones I'm doing now and everything, they're very cut, clean, and dry with how they're gonna spend the money and the budgets that they're
Okay.
gonna give for the money, basically. So it's not like would snow attribute to it better? Yes. Does it cost more? Yes. Can they get away without doing it? Probably. So they're gonna do that. So and that's the type of like train of thought that they do. And then that's why I said like it needs to be more like eventually creative led. Because even if it costs more, if it's better creatively, people are gonna do it. But right now it's like that's why I said it's like the biggest the dynamic difference. Because like when I was doing the Arabian Prince one, we went and filmed in like jet lots. And like private like houses like actual studio areas in LA, not just like smaller little areas. I will just keep that for that. But it definitely felt more advantageous. It was more advantageous with the budgets. It was more advantageous with the character designs, with the costumes, with everything like that. But then I think they figured out what they can cut. I think they figured out what they could cut off and get away with. And what they could downsize for pricing aspects. So that way they could make as big of a return of investment as they could get.
I see. I need a billionaire or win the lottery. That's the only two options.
Hey, as long as I even me myself, I'm planning to like, eventually have my money to produce these verticals and everything in an aspect to where like I'm coming from a creative aspect of where like if
Yeah.
this makes it creatively better, we're doing it.
Yeah,
That's it.
absolutely. Absolutely. We will see. At the end, I'm asking every time a five question quickie.
Okay.
So, first one, what's your favorite dish? What kind of food you like?
One that
I
I'm
saw
making or
last
one
time the
that
sushi one. Oh, I got sushi yesterday because of that.
Oh, I bet. Oh, I German sushi. I want to go to Europe and have some sushi. I want to go to Japan and have some sushi. But anyways, one that I'm not cooking, sushi, obviously. One that I am cooking right
Are you a
now.
good cook in cooking? Are you a good
Yeah.
cooker? That's
Yeah,
great.
I learned culinary for about 2 years.
Really?
So, Yeah, so but the one I'm doing right now, I have like a thing. I like seafood. Seafood's my thing. It's not that hard to prepare either, and it's a really nice payoff. So you have a couple swordfish steaks, and you infuse it with teriyaki, let it baste into that, and then after that, I usually just make some basmati rice because it pairs well with it, and some garlic and lemon asparagus.
Okay. Are you doing more the Asian style, or what kind of
I
food do
do
you prefer?
Italian and then Italian, Hispanic, and Japanese.
If you want to try German food, I can send you my cookbook. I published a cookbook 2 years ago.
Okay. Oh, I would love to. Yeah, I haven't
But
tried
it's
any German
German.
food.
I will send you the pictures and then you can tell me which one you want to try and I will translate the recipe for you.
Of course. Thank you. I
Because
appreciate that. And
German, we have really
congratulations.
great German food. Fun fact, I was really bad cooking before my brain surgery and after my memory loss, I have to learn a lot of things new. And I tried to learn cooking. And now I was invited a few times to TV shows to cook for two star chefs. So that's the reason why I published the cookbook. Yeah,
As you
so
should.
a few years
Fantastic.
later, I'm from a bad cooker, went to
As
a cookbook owner. Yeah.
you should. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
But a lot
Wow.
of German food, typical German food.
I don't know anything. I don't know any German food, so honestly, I'll be a baby with it.
We have, in Germany, there in the areas kind of typical foods. Here in the south, we have the best food in Germany, even more better than in the north. No, because it's more typical traditional. In Munich is the Oktoberfest with all the typical.
The drinking and everything, right?
Yeah, I don't drink alcohol, so I've never been to the Oktoberfest,
I
but.
don't drink alcohol either, so same.
Are you my brother or what?
Yeah,
No
right?
coffee, no alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, we're both good at cooking. Who knows
Yeah.
this?
Both dark hairs. So,
Yeah.
huh. You're my brother from another mother,
Yeah, well, finally great to meet you.
huh? Yeah. If you ever come to Europe, let me know.
Of course. I mean, I'm gonna live in Europe eventually. So,
Then it would be more, to fly from here to Milan. It's only 1 hour,
Oh, wow, easy.
so we can meet for a weekend dinner
Without
and
a
then.
doubt. No, I would love that. That'd be great.
No, you have to come to Germany for the Christmas markets. The traditional Christmas markets here in Germany are really nice, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, are you kind of Christmas type or not?
I love Christmas. I love Christmas outside of the US.
Yes, in the US it's more commercial things, and here in Germany it's really traditional. I'm baking Christmas cookies, German recipe cookies,
Yeah, I just think it's like that's a completely different vibe than what the US has made it into. It's made it into a capitalistic playground for the companies,
yeah,
basically.
absolutely.
So
I will send you a few pictures from the Christmas markets. I saw because they are now advertising because they are starting in November.
Yeah.
And that's so totally typical German traditional and so far away from the Christmas in the US. Absolutely. I'm sure
Sweet.
you
No,
would love it.
I'd love to get some actual tradition in. Now it's a lot of the I mean, I could go on a total tangent about what America is, but let's finish your questions first.
Yes, sorry. Favorite film at the moment?
At the moment.
The latest you saw, where you think, wow, that's a really good one.
Probably Sinners.
Are you a type of rewatching films or?
It has to be a re I am very, which I don't know is good or not, but I'm a very watch like a one and done type person with like what I watch. Unless like I'm practicing it like to learn another language. Like I'm rewatching a lot of things right now in Italian that I watched in English first to like learn Italian. But like for me to rewatch a movie, like I have a comfort movie. It's called Real
A
Steel with Hugh Jack.
comfort movie. I never heard this comfort movie. Okay.
With real it's called Real Steel with Hugh Jackman, and it's like a it's a boxing robot movie. It's a fun little like kind of kid movie basically, but it's I'm very close with my father, and
Yes.
the relation that Hugh Jackman goes from being a deadbeat dad to like actually stepping in the shoes of a role model of a father and like taking care of this kid how he should and everything is very like very relatable. I wouldn't say like relatable in like the deadbeat father to like the good father type thing, but I love seeing the relationship grow between the two and the development and everything, because the kid is also fantastic at being a little brat to his dad. So it's a nice little comfort movie. But I'd say like the newest one that I watched right now that I thought creatively was very fulfilling was The Sinners, because it was an independent movie that was creatively fulfilling. A lot of the independent artists, Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, those people that had creative freedom and access to make what they wanted, the studios were taking a back seat basically for this one, and it worked out. They did good.
Sometimes it's worth to take a risk. What's your favorite song? What kind of music brings you in a good mood when it's not Modern Talking? That
My
triggered me
my
really hard. Really.
Wait, for what? Sorry, can you
The
repeat that?
Modern Talking song you choose for your own for your video, the Sherry Sherry Lady, was it Sherry Sherry Lady? No, You're My Heart, You're My Soul
Oh,
one.
yeah.
Oh, holy moly.
It just went with the vibe.
No. That song is forbidden here in Germany. You cannot play it. Sorry. No.
Really?
You know, the stupid thing, everyone says, oh, that's such a stupid song, but everyone can sing it along. Everyone.
I get actually it's funny because I have a couple influencer friends that are from Germany. I got that song from him, actually. So
Okay, no, so what's your favorite song?
Locked Out of Heaven by Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars is great. I loved it. Have you ever seen the Carpool Karaoke, which Bruno Mars did?
Yeah, I did.
That
Yeah.
was so funny. Oh,
It's
come
great. Now
on.
he's a I, and he's one of the very few artists that I he's one of the very few artists that sound as they do live on a recording,
Yeah, absolutely.
which is now very nice to have, because it's very few artists that do that.
Pink.
So
Pink is another one.
she
I
is, yeah, and
love
Adele
Pink.
is a good one too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What's your favorite vertical you've done so far?
Probably the first one I did in China.
Do you know what the title was?
I think this is like a queen takes both or something like that. I was a villain in it, but he was the pettiest boy I've played in my life. He was just God, just and so insolent. And he would have like he had like his mistress like feeding him fruit at one point, where he was just like a king, leaving like a little lap, just like a just a
A
a
gigolo,
bad.
huh?
A bad person, but like a really enjoyable bad person. Like you wanted this guy to get his ass hit, like, and it was great. But it was also just like I think that was the one where I think that was the only vertical where like I've been on where like the production value was like so significantly good, and everything was there was no rush, there was no anything. The cast got along together so well. We're all still friends,
Okay.
and it's an aspect of where like it was just a such a good synergistic environment. And when we went to China and everything, there was 2.5 weeks that we got settled in. There were like 3 days where we got to settle in. We got to experience the culture, the food. We got taken around, and in the days off, we went to one of the tallest towers in China and saw the whole city from above. And it's an aspect of where like it was just an experience that like I was is irreplaceable in an aspect. And the environment, the set environment was good too, where we shot the areas, the other actors we were working with, the director was a director instead of just actually being a pop piece for a mouthpiece for the client. And it was bless you.
Thank you.
And it felt great. It felt fantastic. It was what a way for me to start off my 2024 basically. And I just like I don't think I've been on a vertical that's compared to it since. And the production company that I worked with actually was the same production company that made the Mommy Daddy Don't Divorce.
Ah,
So
okay.
So it was just, they're just fantastic people, and I've always loved working with them.
Last question. We talked about it earlier a little bit. What kind of genre you want to see more?
To see more?
Or to get in more?
Anything besides the tropes. Literally anything besides the tropes at this point. Like
what
like,
kind of science fiction or criminal or, I don't know, the Western one or...
the Western one. I would, so I do like fantasy stuff, but not the way that they're portraying it. And in an aspect of like, where like the werewolf and the vampire and stuff like that. I would like an actual, like, you know, like kind of like Lord of the Rings type thing.
I haven't seen it.
It's fine. I mean, you can also say like Harry Potter and stuff like that too, and everything. Like it's an
Do you expect that I saw Harry Potter?
Do you see anything fantasy?
No, I saw a few Harry Potter ones, yes, but I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I've never seen Game of Thrones. I've never seen Avatar, something like that.
I just finished Game of Thrones right now. I'm super behind. So I like finished it literally like a couple weeks ago. But okay. It's more like I would like to see, and this goes on with the fact that they're not just going to do a one season type thing. They're going to do a seasons type thing. Mm-hmm. I would like to see a world built like that in a vertical aspect a fantasy world that just feels so untouchable, and an aspect that feels like it alleviates all of the... And I don't want it to be rooted in anything in reality. I don't want there to be any type of like, and this there's a time and place for this type of stuff, for politics and for anything like that, like for race talk or for finances or for anything like that. There's a time and place for it. And if that's the type of movie you're making, then, you know, that's your prerogative. But for me, like, when I'm going to see something that doesn't exist, I shouldn't be reminded by reality.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I should be transported to a different world, and I should be something that's like, wow, holy, wait, oh my God, I'm sitting on my couch.
Yeah.
Something where it's like that type of an aspect. I would love to see something be built like that, like constructed into an aspect of like a world, like not like these worlds, but basically like the type of character arc and development that these worlds have. Like Star Wars, that type of development, or Lord of the Rings, that type of development, Harry Potter, that type of development. It's an aspect of where it's like this entire world that was unfathomable is built. And it's not anything rooted in reality. And that's what's great about it. Mm-hmm. You can't find any of that in reality. You can't.
And a lot of different side stories, not only one.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe the assistant does more than just being the assistant. Maybe the assistant is the guy that is also the hitman that kills the guys that are going after, something like that. Or maybe, you know, the lead heroine girl, has a different life outside of the lead guy, mm-hmm. or something, or it's an aspect of where, like, and her friends aren't just like, you know, mouthpieces in her ear to tell them that he's good or bad or anything like that aspect.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the villain doesn't always have to fix himself on the lead girl. I mean, you already cheated on her. Obviously you don't care about her anymore. Go do something else.
Yeah, that's true.
And it could be like in an aspect of where he does come back into the picture, but now he's built his own empire to rival the lead guy rather than being some petty, like, little thorn in his side or something.
Yeah, I see. You have to write stories. You can do that. You can do that, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It's an aspect of where, like, well, for me, though, the stories that I want to write, I would then want to produce. I don't want to put it in the hands of a client that's going to screw it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, respectfully, it's just like, I know that people are writing stuff right now and producing stuff right now and getting stuff like that. And until I could probably talk to Roberta more about it, to be honest. But like, I want to know that it's going to be in the hands of somebody that's going to actually want to creatively take aspects into their own hands. And if that needs to be me with my finances, then I have no problem with that. But then it's just going to take the time. It's just going to take the time with it, because I want to see it done good. And if it's not done good, it's not going to get done.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand. So it's all about the money.
In an aspect about it, if you don't have the creativity with the money, then you don't make the profits.
Okay, I understand. I need the money. Still hoping for the lottery. It's easier, I think, as the billionaire stuff.
Well, you can also make your own lottery. I mean, I'm working day in and day out to make sure my finances align with where I need to and everything in an aspect like that. It's easier said than done. But also, would you rather know that you grew your own profits rather than, maybe eventually 20, 30, if you get it, years down the road, winning the lottery?
I was in some quiz shows. I won money in quiz shows here already. That was not
Yeah,
so difficult.
enough to make verticals.
50,000 was the one with
Then
only, it's a half vertical, but for 1 hour, hello? It was
Well,
not so bad.
you should do that more often than no.
Maybe, but my brain is not totally back, so.
Oh yeah. Oh, do you have to do like exercises for your brain, or do you have to like do anything specific to like help your memory?
I will tell you that after recording,
Okay, of course.
because that's kind of a different story.
Yeah, of course. Well, that was all your questions, right?
All we done. We are finished. No, it was such a pleasure having you. Thank you very much for joining me
Yeah,
for
of
this
course.
episode. And I wish you a very successful actor life for the rest of the year with a lot of dream roles you're dreaming of. And we will see what happens. Maybe
Oh,
you
yeah.
come to Europe for a visit.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I'm gonna go to Italy right now, and then I will most likely go back there. Not to Italy, but to Europe again. So
It's
I'll let you know.
hopefully. So thank you for joining me for this podcast. And I said bye.
Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.